This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program.
This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Eyre.
Hello. Great to be with you. Thanks for tuning in.
And boy, the April already. Who would have? It's really, really moving along here. We were talking just a few programs ago about be sure to get the 2021 on your checks and everything like that. We're approaching the halfway mark, or not the halfway mark, but third of the way through. But we've got a great guest today.
Yeah, we do. We actually have two guests. We're actually going to be talking about a program called PACE with Franciscan Alliance. And we love Franciscan Alliance. They are underwriters here at Catholic Radio Indy, and we greatly appreciate that support. Our guests today are Dr. Nicholas Prescu and Casey Escovedo, who are going to talk about care for the elderly and how Franciscan Alliance works to meet these challenges amidst the COVID-19 pandemic that we've been through and we're still not quite climbed out of yet. So welcome to Faith in Action.
Thank you.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
All right. I want to talk just briefly about Franciscan Alliance. Who wants to take that one? What exactly is Franciscan Alliance? How would you define it? Maybe the scope and how long it's been around in the Indianapolis metro area. All right. Well, Dr. Prescu?
It actually was renamed Franciscan Alliance a few years ago, but Franciscan hospitals, the Sisters of St. Francis, have a strong, they started up in Mishawaka, and Lafayette. Those were the original two areas where they were. And now we basically have hospitals, a physician network, and it's all unified now into Franciscan Alliance, hence the name. And we have primary care, subspecialties, actually many hospitals. I want to say 12, but I'm not even sure. It might be more now. We actually have three regions. Franciscan West is basically based in Lafayette, Indiana. Central region is Indianapolis, Mooresville, and we do have a smaller hospital up in Carmel. And then we have the northern region, which is really the oldest, going from Dyer over to... basically the entire northern border of the state, and we have a little bit that extends into eastern Illinois near Chicago, around the Chicago area.
Now, Doctor, you work at the on the south side of Indianapolis here, right, in Greenwood?
Well, actually south side Indianapolis. I've never had an office quite in Greenwood, although a lot of people refer to the Indianapolis hospital that is new, because we used to be in Beech Grove,
right.
And Beech Grove went through a transition, through years of transition, and finally Beech Grove was closed after around 100 years of being there. And we now are down on the further south side, and a lot of people think it's Greenwood. It's still Indianapolis. It's stop 11. It's still within the within Marion County, and that's where I've been located for almost 30 years now.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about COVID restrictions there. Are those easing somewhat? There was a time when, I guess, virtually no visitors. Is that gradually changing now?
It definitely has, but it's very stepwise. I think we don't, contrary to what many, including myself, might think, what I originally thought was that the hospital makes up their own minds about things like that. But what happens is there's sort of a mini congress of local hospitals, and they want to be consistent throughout the region. And so collaborating with Ascension and IU Downtown and Community and so on, these restrictions have basically been pretty consistent throughout the hospitals. I don't want to say exactly because I'm not sure of that, but what's happened is we have gone from, like you said, no visitors to the next step was one visitor between very very narrow hours, of course, all along wearing proper equipment, masking up and so on, getting their temperatures checked, the whole, and that actually we still have that at the entrance to the hospital. That's still going on. But now the latest has been two visitors, broader hours. I mean, you know, it's slowly changing. Indiana has been has been very good about this. The leadership in Indiana in general, I think we're much more cautious than many states, and I think it's a good thing.
We're talking with Dr. Nicholas Priskiew. He is the medical director of the facility PACE, and we're also talking with Casey Escovedo, who is the PACE Center Manager. So what is PACE? Do you want to take that, Casey?
Sure, absolutely. PACE is an acronym that stands for Program for All-Inclusive Care for the Elderly. Franciscan Senior Health and Wellness is a PACE organization, and so we offer support for older adults who wish to live at home but require a certain level of consistent medical care to ensure their safety and longevity in the community.
And is there a certain, when you talk about maybe like chronic illness, or are there certain people that qualify that would qualify for this type, or that would, I'm trying to look for the word, like who would fit in this category? Who's your clientele?
Yeah, so in order to be eligible for our PACE services, individuals have to be 55 years of age or older. They need to reside in our PACE designated state approved service area, and they meet nursing home level of care, and they must be able to live safely in the community at the time of enrollment to PACE.
And so what kind of services do you deliver, or do they come to you, or do you go to them? Talk a little bit about that. Or both.
A little bit of both.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Talk about that.
We're pretty flexible in that regard, especially right now throughout the COVID-19 pandemic. So we do have an adult day health center here at our PACE location in Indianapolis, and also the one in Dyer. So individuals can come here for several services to see their primary care provider, to receive therapy services, nutrition, education, and so on. But we also are able to take our services into the community, into their homes, where they're most comfortable if they're not able to get here.
So maybe talk a little bit about some of the challenges that you've had and how you've kind of navigated those over the past year or so. Did your facility actually shut down? Do people stay there overnight? I'm trying to get a perspective of the facility that you run there.
Sure. We never shut down. We did not provide the adult day services as far as the socialization in the larger group settings, just so we could maintain the physical distancing for safety of our participants. But we did still offer other services within the homes. We had therapy and medical appointments scheduled by appointment, so we didn't have several individuals in here at one time. And then we did make our home visits as well and provided the virtual activities in place of our adult day center.
Now, is this something that people sign up for themselves, or do family members sign up, mom and dad, and that sort of thing?
Referral services can come from the individual themselves. They could come from their families or their loved ones, or anyone really who believes that person needs our services.
Mm-hmm. Now, Dr. Priskiew, what sort of medical services are involved in this? Is it like visiting physician, or are there special services that people get through this program?
I can take that. You have to remember this is a big team of people, and I'm the medical director. We have two nurse practitioners. We have all sorts of therapists. You name it, we've got it. Recreational therapists. We've got everything. And the thing is that You know, I mean, the name of PACE, you know, that A stands for all-inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, you know, when I got into this 5-6 years ago, I didn't really know what it was until I read up on it. I mean, they provided lots of information, and I was kind of afraid of the job. And actually, it's a it really has been an interesting trip because I learned a lot. First of all, no physician or no medical office has this kind of staff for this number of patients. Mm-hmm. That was something, when you think about it, I mean, we have, if you include everyone we have, because we have aides, we have, you name it, like I said, I mean, you name something, we don't have any surgeons or anything like that. Mm-hmm. We don't do surgery on the premises, obviously, but the thing is that we have 40-ish employees for approximately 120 to 130 patient participants at the present moment. Now, if you go to your doctor's office, your primary care doctor, I'm going to say that if it's a single doctor, I remember when I, you know, my background is internal medicine, and, you know, I was in with 3 or 4 doctors, depending on the year, and we averaged 2.5 to 3 employees per doctor. Now, of course, we shared some, but, you know, when you were looking, that's why it was 2.5, obviously. Mm-hmm. We didn't have half an employee, but that would have been horrible. But, no, we here, you know, for a much lower, and we, by the way, we had thousands of patients.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And here you've got a very relatively very low number of patients and a very high number of staff, including 3 providers, 2 of which do the brunt of the work. I'm never going to take the credit. I mean, definitely my nurse practitioners are essential because I have other jobs which we can get into later or not, but I'm kind of like all over the place. And the thing is that basically, you know, the brass ring of this whole affair with PACE is that a patient that really needs a lot of attention, that is fragile, has a lot of medical problems, gets the attention that they need because we have the staff to give them that attention through the, and I've got to say, wisdom of CMS, the government, in promoting this. It was actually Obama who kind of expanded PACE. PACE has existed for decades, started in California, but it was on a very low scale as far as numbers, and it was some brave, I heard it was a dentist, but it was either a dentist or a physician that noticed that there were populations of people, at that time there were a lot of new immigrant Chinese in California, big families that everybody, you know, most of the young people had to work, and they had elderly family members that needed attention, but nobody could stay home. And this physician/dentist noticed this and went to CMS, went to the government, and said, hey, I've got an idea. And I'm simplifying things because this didn't happen overnight, but basically, you know, when you give, it's like anything else. If you have a you know, a very technical job to do, it doesn't matter whether it's in medicine or in computers or whatever we're talking about. If you have a whole bunch of people that really know what they're doing, ganging up on a project, you're gonna be more efficient at completing that project. And the same is true in medicine. The more brains you got crammed together working on an individual patient, the better off that patient is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because, you know, when I first saw the, what do you call it? The
results?
The per diem.
Oh, okay.
The per diem that Medicare was doling out, I said, how can they afford that? And then I thought about it because, you know, as we all, well, I don't know if you guys know, but it's most doctors know the highest cost for patient care in America is hospitalization. It's like, I can't remember, there used to be a pie chart. I think it's like two-thirds of the pie chart goes into hospitalization, rehab, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that if you can reduce hospitalizations, not by standing in front of the door and not letting people in, but by treating these patients before they get to a point where they need to be hospitalized, then you're doing the patient a tremendous favor, because no patient wants to be in the hospital and be sick or injured or whatever brought them there. And second of all, that's an avoided hospitalization or hospitalizations that that save a lot of money. So the medical dollars are better spent on keeping the patient healthy.
We need to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more about the PACE program and how it helps serve our local community. Stay tuned for more Faith in Action.
Alexa, what's the weather forecast for today?
Alexa, what time is the Colts game today?
Alexa, remind me to pick up the dry cleaning tomorrow.
Has Alexa become a part of your daily routine? Then make sure that routine includes Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Quick, easy access to Catholic programming 24/7. Just say, Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer. We're talking with Casey Escobedo, who is the PACE Center Manager, and Dr. Nicholas Priskew, who is the Medical Director for PACE. And Casey, remind us what PACE is exactly.
PACE is the program for all-inclusive care for the elderly, designed to provide medical and social services to individuals in their homes.
And when you say elderly, it's actually 55 and above. So I know you're really young over there, but for 55 and above, the closer you get to that age, that's doesn't seem too far away. So
which is exactly why we named Franciscan Senior Health and Wellness.
Senior Health and Wellness.
So talk a little bit about the eligibility. We touched on that a little bit, Casey or Dr. Priskew.
Sure, I can go over the basics. Who's eligible for PACE? Again, you said it earlier, 55 years of age or older. They reside in our approved service area. It's for those individuals who meet nursing home level of care, and they have to be safe upon enrollment to live in the community.
Now, are the services that you offer offered in people's homes, or are they offered at Franciscan Hospital, or are they offered at a separate facility?
They're offered in their homes and at our PACE Center here in Indianapolis, or in our center in Dyer.
Okay, and where is the PACE Center in Indianapolis?
We're at 8325 East Southport Road.
So really, it's a completely different way of caring for people. Doctor, do you want to talk a little bit about that? How it's better, or how the model works better, and then maybe talk a little bit about the outcomes too with a PACE situation versus some other maybe discombobulated health provider, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I understand. No, PACE is very unique because when Casey said that the participants must be eligible for nursing home type level of care, well, what does that really mean? It doesn't mean, hey, I need a place to live. That means that these are fragile people. In other words, they have most nursing home residents have multiple medical problems. Most are chronic problems that won't just go away with treatment. They can be controlled. They have to be treated. They have to be given a lot of attention in order to keep a good quality of life. And it's interesting because there are all these indices that we look at, and there actually are fragility indices. They're actually called that in medicine, where we're looking at how likely is it that this person will have an acute episode of some kind that will bring them to a hospital. And the PACE patients, as a group, are people where there's a very high index of complications. And so what winds up happening at PACE, we're funded through the government. They pay us to take care of our participants, and we are able to provide more care for these people that really need more care, that benefit from more care. A healthy 20-year-old does not need PACE, nor would that 20-year-old be accepted to PACE, but they don't need all that attention because they're healthy. They may go for their physical every 2 years and so on. We have 55 and higher and upward ages of patients that wound up, that have anywhere from 3 to 20 different chronic medical problems, and they do better when we pay more attention to them. It's kind of funny, when I started with PACE, one thing I noticed is that the staff was very disproportionate to the number of patients we had, because we started with one patient and then two and then five and so on when we first got started. And of course we had to have a pre-existing staff, and I believe back then it was maybe 10, which was too much staff, but you have to have, that's part of CMS's guidelines. The government says you have to have this freestanding facility that has these the staff available from the get-go. And we wound up, what I noticed right away was, as time went on and we got more patients, I started calling them my spies. And that's probably not good. I probably should have called them my observers, because it sounds better. But the bottom line is that if an aide, a nurse's aide, or maybe occupational therapy, or somebody was seeing this patient for, a routine visit, I heard about it if something was not quite right with that patient, because now we have a very high number of staff members. We have, Casey, you can probably be exact. I always say it's around 40, because last time I heard it was 37 or 38. Might be more now, but we had a we have these folks that see the patients for different reasons, including our recreation. You know, it might be that a patient is there for during the day, pre-COVID, of course. Mm-hmm. And our recreational therapist might say, Mrs. X didn't look too good today. She was kind of looking dizzy when she walked, and right away that sends up a red flag. So I guess the best way to put it is everybody knows our participants at PACE, and my spies, as I said, I like to call them, they see things. So it's like I've got 40 pairs of eyes.
And one of the benefits, I think, of what you're talking about is that you're able to kind of head off a lot of problems and proactively treat these people before it becomes critical mass and they have to go to the hospital. Jim, you wanted to say something?
Well, I was just going to ask Casey, are you in need of volunteers there, or all of your staff, paid Franciscan employees?
We do actually have some volunteers and would love to have some more. We find that our volunteers really get to know the participants as well, and they can sit with them and socialize and do the activities.
What kind of qualifications would you look for in a volunteer?
Someone who's personable. We love when our volunteers are able to identify with our participants, whether it be due to similar issues or similar age and, part of their generation.
Before we run out of time, we just have a couple minutes left. I want to, if you could give us a website that people could go to if they want to learn more about your organization, and a phone number. Casey, do you have those handy?
Absolutely. Our website, you can find us on franciscanhealth.org, or you can give us a call at a toll-free number, 844-817-PACE, or that is 7223, option 1 for Indy and option 2 for Dyer.
I want to ask each of you real quick, what's it been like for you to be a part of this delivery of holistic medicine, I guess? Dr. Priskiw?
Well, I think it's been a real eye-opener. I've learned so much about how things could and should be done. I believe, and I'm an optimist, but I believe that maybe not, it doesn't have to be called PACE, but I believe that this type of medicine or medical care will be is kind of in our future. I'm a boomer, and the thing is that when all us boomers are 80 years old, some of us already are, but you know, when the bulk of us are, we're going to need a lot of care. And if we don't, I think that the medical system would be swamped if we don't get more efficient and get to problems earlier and so on. And I think the for certain populations anyway, because there are 80-year-olds that are out playing tennis and doing all kinds of stuff and don't have a care in the world, but there are a lot of people that need that extra attention. And so for me it's been just a whole new world, really.
Casey, what about for you?
Yes, I've worked in several different settings and inpatient, community-based therapy, and then all the senior levels of care. And I dreamt of a program like this. And so when I found out about it, that it actually existed, I was really excited. I learn a lot from the generation. They give so much back to me, more than I could give to them. So I'm very blessed to have this job and helping lead this team.
We are out of time. Our guests today have been Casey Escovedo, PACE manager, and Dr. Nicholas Priskiw, who is the medical director there at PACE with Franciscan Alliance. Thanks so much for being our guest today. For more information, you can go to franciscanalliance.org.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again or any past episode at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400 or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.